11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Shake your left hand, gobble. Shake your right hand, gobble. Shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble. Shake your left foot, gobble. Shake your right foot, gobble. Shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Can I have a beat? Can I move my feet? Can I have a turkey to eat? It's Thanksgiving, let's go all in, where we have a turkey to eat. There's pumpkin pie, there's stuffing, oh my, and the people that I love are near.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Shake your left hand, gobble, shake your right hand, gobble, shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble. Shake your left foot, gobble, shake your right foot, gobble, shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, the turkey goes. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Thanksgiving song, that was as good as we can get. I think it's pretty doggone good, Ed. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We are gobbling our way through a pre-Thanksgiving Day broadcast of Freedom Works. We thank you for joining us. Yes, it is Wednesday, November 23rd, the day before the Turkey Day. Ed, I got to ask you, where'd you come up with that song, and also who sang it? I've never heard of it before, but it's very appropriate.
You know, it was one of those last second things. I just kept searching.
Yes.
Searching and searching. And it's just, I didn't even, because the cue, I can't put it in cue because you got your headphones on. So I had to just go with instinct. I couldn't even listen to it before. It just called Gobble Gobble, the turkey song, Thanksgiving Day song. And it's only a minute and a half.
I just wanted to credit whatever group that probably nobody ever heard of again.
I might put that in the bank. We use that every Thanksgiving Day.
Okay. I think you're right. I think it's a good one to use. Very
keeper.
Good. All right. So in a few minutes, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us. We are going to talk about a potential railway strike. Oh, no. What? We got everything else going wrong. What about this? It could cripple our economy just before Christmas. Can you imagine? If the railroads are not delivering the goods to the trucks to get to the stores, what's going to happen at Christmas time? And forget about just Christmas. Just to exist. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. And will Thanksgiving get-togethers force a new COVID outbreak? Last year's Thanksgiving coincided with the arrival of the Omicron virus, and now we're going to get together again. You think we're going to start everything going again just when we're trying to get over it? We're going to talk about that. And the incoming Speaker of the House demands the Homeland Security Secretary quit or be fired. You know that guy, Mayorkas? He keeps saying everything's fine on the border. It's secure, right? Well, we'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you got to believe this one is appropriate. How about the top 10 myths? Myths, M-Y-T-H-S, about Thanksgiving. Things that didn't really occur, maybe you thought they did. So stay tuned for that as well. So, the holiday, excuse me, the holiday shopping season is fully underway. Black Friday, 2 days away. So what's going on with the sales? 3 weeks into the season, retailers are finding sales so far dead even with last year. Dead even. Shoppers hitting their keyboards spend about $65 billion online. Yeah, $65 billion online. That's pretty much close to last year, too. Let's see here. Discounts for toys have hit a record high, peaking at 30% off listed price. Online sales of toys are up 172%. This is what you might want, Ed, for your Christmas gift. I may have to make note of it. Mattel's Hot Wheels. They're the number one most demand for a toy.
You ever Hot Wheels?
Damn. I don't even know what they quite are.
Oh, it's a little cars, a little metal cars with the wheels on them, and you get the track that rolls out.
Okay.
And you,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, we had one of those battery-operated cars, and it was connected to a long cord. And
it wasn't quite wireless back then, but I know what you mean. You had to be fast in following behind it, though.
Yeah, it was, and it could only go so far, but you could make a turn, and it was kind of fun. But now you got everything, usually connected somehow to the internet and Wi-Fi, you know.
Well, they're wireless controlled. They're called RC, remote control.
Okay, mm-hmm. There's something also called Paw Patrol. You heard about that?
Yeah, that's for kids. I mean,
well, yeah.
I mean, infants. Well, not infants, but you know, 5, 6, 7 years old.
Okay,
maybe.
Another one, the Nintendo Switch, top selling game console.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see here. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the Thanksgiving COVID-19 test. So the U.S. is heading into its third COVID-19 Thanksgiving. Supposedly, we're in better shape than the last two. But we're going to find out. You know, that the Omicron virus got started, coincidentally, at Thanksgiving last year. So this is kind of a precarious time to see if another version is lurking around the corner or what is going on with that. Some so-called virus experts say the lack of a fresh surge is a hopeful sign that built-up immune protection from vaccines and prior infections is helping a little bit. I see that Dr. Fauci was online, not online, but he was being given a farewell press conference. Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't bother to. I would have shut it off completely. I think most Americans said farewell a long time ago.
Yeah, and there was questions that were, they attempted to ask him about his connection still to the Wuhan lab. That got under the skin of that press secretary to Biden. She tried to shut down the speaking, as usual. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we'll talk with Sean Higgins about the impending railroad strike.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season.
Hey, we are back on a pre-Thanksgiving Day Wednesday. Gosh, I can't believe it. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. I've always liked turkey, too. I don't even know if the turkeys are more expensive this year or not. And you're going to cook a turkey, I think.
Yes, we went and got supplies, well, part of Sunday and then yesterday. And I told you, I kept hearing from Fox News that turkeys are almost double the price this year. And every time I went, they're the same price as last year.
Really?
A buck under, if you want the economic turkeys, they're under a buck a pound.
Okay.
The normal one, the butterballs, are like 116, something like that, a pound.
Is that about the same?
But then I heard them say, if you go to a turkey farm to get your turkey, the turkeys are almost double the price as last year. Who goes to a turkey farm?
I was going to say, I don't even know where a turkey farm is.
I mean, do you want it still running? Is that the idea, or I don't understand. Never known anybody that's gone to it.
Supposedly, think if you go to a turkey farm, that the turkeys are a lot fresher. I guess that's it.
Fresh, you get bit. That's how fresh they are.
Oh, that's how fresh. You mean they're still alive?
Yes, I guess so.
What the heck do I want a live turkey for?
I don't know.
I mean, if I took a live turkey,
you don't have to thaw it out for 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah, but Ed, if I took a live turkey home, I would befriend it. I wouldn't want it to die. Are you kidding me? Okay. Anyway. Sean Higgins is with us. He's graciously agreed to take some time just before his Thanksgiving holiday to talk about something that's on the minds of a lot of people, especially in Washington right now, Sean. It's a possible railroad strike. What a time to come with all of these other things going on just before Christmas. Sean, welcome back to Freedom Works. Is this true? Is there a good chance that we are going to have a huge strike?
It is possible that in the first full week of December, that yes, there will be a railroad strike, and we'll essentially see a replay of the supply chain crisis we had last year. It's not for certain. There's a good chance, and kind of my hope, my gut says they'll avoid it at the last minute, because these are usually those type of brinksmanship negotiations where everybody waits until the absolute last minute before they give in or that type of stuff. But who knows? I mean, it's still possible the talks could break down.
Yeah.
Basically, it's one union is, or three unions, I should say, mm-hmm. have rejected a contract. Eight others have signed on to it. But if one of the three, you know, simply balks at signing it, the others have said they won't cross the picket line. So the whole thing will sort of, whole railroad line
join
will freeze
the solidarity,
up.
Right. We're talking, of course, with Sean Higgins. He's a labor policy expert at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and the CEI has done, I guess you've done an analysis on this dispute, right?
Well, I've been following it throughout the year, yes.
So, Biden, not long ago, maybe a couple of months ago, was touting the fact that they had averted a railroad strike. And now he's already taken off for his Thanksgiving retreat. I mean, he won't be. Is he doing anything over the weekend on this?
No, he's not. When he said he resolved it, basically what happened was earlier this year he used the presidential powers to create an emergency board that will step in and sort of create the contract that both sides could sign. Unfortunately, the board that he created and the contract that they came up with, some of the unions still don't like, even though this is one the one that Biden created. So in a sense, the unions are kind of biting Biden's hand because he created a board that provided a pretty generous contract for them, but they still, some of them still want more sick leave time. So that's what's holding it up.
What are the chances, do you think, and when would it start if this strike does occur? Do we have any idea at all?
Well, the last round of sort of contract negotiations officially end, I believe, the 8th, and it's possible that things break down earlier than that. I think we could have a strike a few days before that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to happen sometime between the 5th and the 9th of December.
What exactly are these three railroad unions against in terms of the contract that had been negotiated? What is it they don't like about it?
Well, I mean, it's actually pretty generous in terms of the amount of additional money that they're getting. But what they want are basically another 2 weeks or so of sick leave time. Their argument is that they were required to work too many long hours, and this was too inflexible during the period of the COVID break, and they don't want to have to go through that again. But it also happens that the amount of vacation time that they're requesting would require the railroads have to hire more workers to be able to deal with the sort of flexibility that would require. And there's been a sort of long-running fight between the unions and the railroad industry themselves over automation and the removal of railroad jobs. So this may, in fact, be a backdoor way of preserving jobs.
Now, this could really impact, I mean, here's, you know, it's bad enough to have a railroad strike and goods and services are curtailed, but right at Christmas is really bad. Nearly 30% of cargo shipments could be frozen. Is that true?
40% actually is the number that I've seen, according to the Wall Street Journal. And we're talking about everything from, you know, food, fuel, retail products.
Wow.
I mean, most of the stuff still you know, moves along rail lines, or at least a vast portion of it. And this will be a major impact if it does happen. So,
yeah.
I mean, you remember last year when people were sort of running short of things on the shelves and all that type of stuff. We could see that again.
I mean, that's the thing. We got all these other problems going on, and then you have the railroad strike. You would think that the government, the Biden administration, would be working full throttle to make sure that this does not occur.
They could. I mean, that's one of the things. Most private sector unions are under the National Labor Relations Act, but the transportation industry, including like the railways, are under a different one, an earlier one called the Railway Labor Act, which gives the government more power to basically force resolutions of disputes like this. Basically, because it's interstate commerce, this is one of the rare times when the government actually does something that specifically is related to interstate commerce. They can sort of force a settlement, and they will likely do that. This is one of the things that's sort of holding the unions back from actually striking, is they're afraid that if they do that, then the Congress will step in and just force them to accept the deal that Biden's board created.
Mm-hmm. We're talking again with Sean Higgins. He is a labor policy expert for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the possibility of a strike just before Christmas, with three railroad unions voting to reject a contract that had been negotiated by the Presidential Emergency Board. Sean, there are a couple of senators, Republican senators, Richard Burr and Roger Wicker, who have a bill ready that would stop the strike. Can they actually prohibit the strike?
Yeah. Yeah, Congress can do this. They can step in and do it if they want to. I mean, it's just a question of, do they have the political will to do it? Are they afraid that there'll just be a negative reaction to doing it? But there probably isn't. I mean, there's enough concern over the economy that they probably even get some Democratic support simply on the basis of that if they did this. So that's sort of the reason why I'm sort of cautiously optimistic that we won't see a strike. But who knows? I mean, there's always been these cases in the past where the unions have thought, you know, well, let's call the government's bluff and see what's happening. The Air Traffic Controllers Union, you know, tried that with Reagan. It didn't work out very well for them. But this doesn't always, but you never really know until it happens.
Mm-hmm. Sean, on a broader scale, with supplies getting into stores and trucking shipments and you know, cargo sitting off in the water, you know, in Savannah and possibly in L.A. and other places. Is there, have things been getting any better over the past 3 or 4 months in terms of delivery of goods to the stores?
They're better than they were last year. You know, the shock of the strike caused a lot of retailers to sort of rethink the logistics and how they source things. So they're using smaller ports. They're a lot of them are sort of directly purchasing and having their own people transport the stuff, so they don't have to deal with intermediaries and that type of stuff. So it's a bit more efficient than it was last year. But overall, we still have a fairly old-fashioned, supply chain in the U.S. that does require, you know, it's one of those, it's like any chain. It's like if one thing breaks, then it's a problem for the whole rest of it, and we're still sort of in that situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It seems like we've got quite a bit of traffic out there in terms of not only travel, but going to the stores, the purchasing of products. I was in the store yesterday. I tell you, it was as busy as I have ever, ever seen it. So people are not, what would you say, pulling in their horns at this point is when it comes to shopping?
No. And in fact, there's a lot of stuff to buy because, again, a lot of the retailers, anticipating the possibility that there might be a strike, built up their inventories for this time of year. So, people do. I mean, the good thing is, like, the business and community does sort of recognize and learn from these things and adjust in the future if they have a suspicion that this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. The one good thing about this sort of strike being stretched out over the course of this year with, you know, because Biden talking about getting it done earlier this year, was that a lot of businesses said, okay, this could happen. We better be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you see, you know, again, looking at the whole economy and supply chain, from your standpoint, are we getting any closer to seeing the beginning of the end, as Winston Churchill might say, or the end of the beginning or whatever?
I think, you know, basically we're always going to have some of these problems as long as there's a couple of, as long as there's several different actors in the chain. If you know, it's the truckers, the trucking industry, the retail industry, the ports, the unions, and they all don't necessarily have the same agenda. We're always going to have some of these problems. Whether it gets worse or better, I think we're actually slightly getting better, but it's slowly with sort of fits and starts and a kind of two steps forward, one step back situation.
Indeed. Well, I want to thank you very much, Sean, for taking time before your turkey Thanksgiving weekend to come on, talk with us a little bit about what is going on. Please keep up the good work and all great things in the new year to you.
Always happy to visit Tampa.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. All right, we are going to take our break. And when we come back, the incoming Speaker of the House is demanding that the Homeland Security Secretary quit or be fired. We're going to talk about that.
Shoot him down, turn around, come on, Moni. Hey, you give me love and I feel all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Do you have questions about navigating the confusing world of health insurance? Then just ask Angela. That's right, just ask Angela. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Angela will discuss topics such as individual, family, and group health insurance plans, life insurance, original Medicare, supplemental plans, and much, much more. Just ask Angela every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. and visit her website, justaskangela.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on the Wednesday before Turkey Day. I feel bad for all those turkeys. I don't know. I used to watch, when I was little, I used to watch all those Westerns and all those shows, you know. And I always felt bad for the bad guy. I always thought, you know, why can't he win once in a while, right? So I feel that way for turkeys. Can a few of them get away? Why don't we eat something like Spam on Thanksgiving, or maybe broccoli sprouts or something like that, you know? I say we save a turkey or two.
Well, if we ate Spam, what would Hawaii eat?
Oh, that's right. They'd eat turkeys. Or would they eat pineapples or bananas? They got other things in. Why do you keep saying Spam in Hawaii? That's another one. I always wonder about that one. Is there Spam growing in Hawaii?
During the war, that's all they could get out there.
In Hawaii?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a delicacy there. Are you kidding me? It is.
It is?
Yes.
Hormel was a company that made Spam. I remember that.
I can only eat Spam if it's fried.
Fried Spam.
Yeah.
How about a fried Spam sandwich or something like that, huh?
You know what I tried for the first time, like only a year ago? Ramen noodles. I had never tried ramen noodles before. The cheapest thing out there, and I'd never tried it before.
Really?
Yeah. It actually wasn't bad. Actually wasn't bad. Like for a buck, for a dollar and some hot water.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, for a buck, I'm willing to try anything myself.
You could jazz it up a little bit, too. Right. Throw a couple of vegetables in there, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, everybody's favorite Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas. I see no evil. I hear no evil. I speak no border evil. I know nothing. That's Mayorkas. And House Republican Leader Kevin McCarthy yesterday called for Mayorkas to quit over his handling of the southern border. Quit or be fired. Also, possibly face an impeachment inquiry when the Republicans take control of the House next year. So, here's what McCarthy had to say about Mayorkas. His actions have produced the great wave of illegal immigration, the greatest wave in recorded history. He said, this is why I am calling on him to resign. He cannot remain in that position. If he does not resign, we will investigate every order, every action, and every failure to determine whether we can begin an impeachment inquiry. So, I think the guy should have been gone a long time ago. I don't know what, if I were Mayorkas, I wouldn't want the job. I'm sure his hands are tied. I'm sure the Biden people don't want him to do anything. They don't want people to be curtailed at the border, apparently. Drugs or no drugs. You know, crime or no crime. Now, McCarthy, and they also are thinking of bringing Democratic administration people down to the southern border and actually conducting hearings at the southern border with Biden administration officials, you know, like Mayorkas. I think that would be very interesting. I don't know. We'll see where all of that goes, but a growing number of GOP people have called for Mayorkas to be impeached. You know, he's been around doing this ever since Biden got into office 2 years ago. There were more than 1.7 million migrant encounters in fiscal year 21. And then the following fiscal year, it went from 1.7 million to 2.3 million. And then this new fiscal year, 23, is going to be maybe as bad or worse. So I think finally, one way or the other, the Biden administration is going to be forced to confront the border situation. They're going to have to. I think Mayorkas is going to go. I think if he doesn't go, it'll be a perfect setup for the Republicans to impeach him. And I'm not sure that he could survive an impeachment, because even though the Senate is in Democratic hands, I think a lot of those senators would have egg on their face if they did not vote to impeach this guy.
Thing is,
from their own constituents.
If they impeach him, then what? Who are they going to put in there? Is he going to do a better job? No.
No, you're right. There isn't anybody. I mean, unless they got religion all of a sudden and actually made an attempt to close the border.
I mean, for crying out loud, the Vice President of the United States has been deemed the border czar, and she hasn't even gone to the border.
Of course not. Who else has gone to the border that you can think of? I think Mayorkas had to go down there one time, but he didn't. But all he did was do a photo op with a couple of lemmings. You know, he didn't stand around where people were coming through the border or anything like that. But other than him, who else has gone down there from the Biden? Biden hasn't been down there.
No. The only thing they did was scream about that bogus thing about the whipping with the horses and the migrants and stuff. That was the only thing they've ever talked about the border before.
That blew up in their face, too. Yeah, it's an absolute mess.
They've never admitted guilt to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an absolute mess. There's no question about it. So we'll see where all of it goes. But that's going to be a heavy focus of Republicans and Kevin McCarthy when it comes to next year. Meantime, the U.S. is heading into its, millions of Thanksgiving travelers are bracing for a major storm to slide across the U.S. this week. That won't be very helpful, will it? Travelers, I think, are jamming the airports. They've already seen over 2.3 million passengers as of Monday. That exceeds what they saw in 2019 before the pandemic. So people are fully back into the travel mode. I can imagine what our interstate's going to be like right now.
If you plan air travel the week of Thanksgiving on Tuesday or Wednesday, you better be prepared for delays, whether it's weather-related or anything else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a mess. I wouldn't want to travel right now. I would want to be wherever I was going to go for Thanksgiving. I'd want to be there by today, right? At least the day beforehand.
Sure. Yeah.
Nobody really arrives on Thanksgiving.
I mean, if you're going to go Monday and get it over with.
Yeah.
And then stay till at least Sunday night.
So I guess at least that's one industry that's doing okay. It's the airline industry. I guess they're doing okay. Let's see. Weather-wise, travelers can expect major storms, like with the Northwest expected to be hit today. We'll have to take a look at the weather map on the Northwest and then expected to mainly, let's see, the storm. There's a storm expected to hit the Northeast tomorrow and on the following day, which they call Black Friday. So there you go. A lot of people out there, if you're going to be driving, my goodness, you're going to have to be careful about that. So back to politics a little bit. The Supreme Court yesterday ordered Donald Trump to turn over his tax returns to the House Ways and Means Committee. He had been granted a stay by the court last month, temporarily granted a stay. But now the court, which is, you know, mainly conservative now, is not going with him on this. Yesterday, John Roberts, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, denied a request to continue to block the Democrats from grabbing these tax returns. Now, this has been going on for some time. In fact, the House Ways and Means Committee first asked for 6 years of Trump's tax returns in 2019. They're currently sitting in the hands of the Treasury Department, which is waiting in terms of whether or not to release them. So, I guess sooner or later, I remember way back when Trump said, when he first came in, do you remember when he said something about, they're in the hands of, what was his excuse for not, he said, they're being audited. Once the audit's finished, I'll go ahead and release them. Do you remember that? He had no intention, of course.
No, I think he doesn't want to because it just so pisses him off.
That's right. I'm not even sure why legally.
Here we go again.
What are they going to do? They're not going to be able to do, even if they found something. They have no policing power, you know. They have no policing power. They can hold a hearing, but what would they do? Nothing. They just want to attack him, you know, continue to attack him. And then they scream when there's even a whiff of a possibility that Biden might be impeached over the Hunter Biden laptop or something else. You know what I mean? Democrats, after impeaching Trump twice.
Sure.
And the second time, he wasn't even in an office anymore, right?
Perfect example is our very own Fish Wrap. St. Pete Times or Tampa Bay Times. Two articles in there about Trump and his taxes. You know how many articles about Hunter Biden laptop? None.
Oh, no, the fix is in when it comes to that. But now, with the Republicans in control of the House, they'll still try to suppress the story. But they won't be able to totally suppress it anymore. Because you're going to be having some of these people sitting in front of the microphones, and they're going to have to say something about it, especially if people like Biden himself, Hunter Biden, you know, is called to testify.
Yeah, I should turn my mic on.
There you go. I was wondering. I couldn't hear you.
My ears are plugged up, too. I couldn't tell
you. No problem. You can tell that not only are my ears plugged up, but I'm still coughing like a seal here, trying to get over this crazy...
Anyway, Fox News had the guy that had the laptop on yesterday.
The repairman. Yeah.
And that would have been a perfect time for him to like, release a little snippet, maybe a little photo of something, you know, whatever. Same thing.
Did you notice that guy, the repairman, is coming out with a book?
Oh, of course.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him in the least. I mean, he got a gold mine that fell into his hands. An absolute gold mine. Now, he did the right thing. He went right to the FBI with all of that stuff, you know? He went to the FBI, so he tried to do the right thing with it.
I don't care what party you are. I want to see some proof.
What Biden's done?
All these women that are after Trump, the taxes after Trump, the prosecution from the New York lady there after Trump, the Biden laptop, I mean, both sides. Mm-hmm. They accuse each other of things, but they never show any proof.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Well, you know, going back to the scandals with Trump and the history of Trump with certain women, how do you prove it after so many years? How do you do it? He said,
I know.
She said.
Well, I'm saying, of course, I wasn't there. I wasn't born yet. But when the United States and the Kennedy administration said, the Russians are putting missiles into Cuba. No, they're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. They roll out with photos. Ding, yes. Ding, ding. Here you go.
Yeah, we had photos.
That's what I want to see.
See photos of what?
I want to see photos of proof.
Uh-huh.
You know? whether it's the win, the 29 women that are accusing Trump, or is the Biden laptop.
I don't think any of these people that were engaged in sexual activity are pulling out a camera at the moment. That's the only problem with photos and proof.
So it's just hearsay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not proof.
No, it's not. It's not. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we are going to give you the top 10 myths about Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
For the final section of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here typically Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And we're delighted when you're able to listen to us at that hour. However, we know you're a busy person. So therefore, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are also put on tape, on podcast. All you've got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button, and there are all our shows. Ed's got them all. He's got the most recent show up front. You'll see the guest. You'll see the top 10. Away you go. OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, before we get to our top 10, I want to talk a little bit sports. And normally we only devote a couple of minutes to it, but I want to maybe devote more than a few minutes to what is going on these days, because we've got the Thanksgiving, typical Thanksgiving NFL games. I always look forward to those. It seems like Detroit's always got one of them, and Dallas always has one of them. Do our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers in any way, are they involved in any Thanksgiving Day football?
No. Saturday they'll head to Cleveland for a Sunday game.
Okay. Cleveland Browns.
You know, that's interesting about that field. I guess somebody snuck in there with a big four-wheeler and ripped up the Cleveland Browns field.
Now, I think I read something briefly about that. What would possess anybody to get on the grass, and how would they wreck it, by the way? Would they go rip the logo out?
Like going mudding. Oh. Those big tires spinning around and doing donuts and stuff like
that.
What
a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, so they've had to repair the field.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
But everybody, besides the NFL games, everybody's saying the big game of the weekend, of course, is the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Yes. In fact, both of those teams are doing very well.
Yeah, that's at noon on Saturday.
On Saturday. Now, yes. I don't know which is ranked which, but are they both ranked within the top four, which would mean that they might be a
They're up there. They're both up
Do
there.
Do they both have a chance of playing in the national championship game? That's what I meant. Whatever happened to Alabama? They're usually up there, but I don't see them up there.
No, they're slacking. I think they've lost, two or three?
You know, they're playing their big game, too. It's called the Alabama, I think it's the Iron Bowl, between Auburn and Alabama. Mm-hmm. That is a huge game. I used to live in Auburn, Alabama, and that's the biggest game of the year for both teams. And I would think Auburn might. Now, Auburn's not doing well this year.
Well, they fired their head coach, and a guy named Cadillac Williams is coaching the team right now. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback.
Yeah.
Running back.
Running back, Cadillac Williams.
Yeah.
Is he the coach of Auburn?
Yes.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, switching to hockey, I think I was watching the Boston Bruins game, and the Bruins have a very good team this year, and they ended up beating the Lightning. I think it was here. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Okay. But the Lightning overall have been doing fairly well this year, have they not?
Yeah. They were on a four-game winning streak there.
Yeah.
Until they ran into Boston.
Until they ran into the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
It's funny how the Boston Bruins have kind of come back up again.
Yeah.
How about the Florida team, the Panthers? Are they doing well in hockey this year?
Not as good as last year.
Not as good, huh? Okay. What's going on with Tom Brady? Is he back to, you know, back? Is his head screwed on straight again?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Get that out of the way.
Yeah. So, did you say they're playing Cleveland this weekend?
Yep.
Okay.
They're in Cleveland.
They are in Cleveland. Is Cleveland a decent team this year?
No.
And are the Bucks what spot are they in the division right now? Are they near the top?
Yeah, they're first in the division. They're 5-5, and then the Falcons are 5-6.
Oh, okay.
So
there's not much going on in that division right now.
It's bad division.
Kind of a weak division. Who would you say is the strongest NFL team right now?
I hate to say it, but probably the Cowboys.
They do look good, don't they? What about the Philadelphia Eagles?
They haven't really played.
They started out
pretty
good. They haven't
played anybody.
They were
really
like 7-0.
8-0.
Yeah.
They haven't played anybody really, really good. I mean, they've gotten to where they are by playing subpar teams, and but they still won.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care who you play. If you've managed to become 8-0, you have to be fairly decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point.
I mean, they played Indianapolis this last weekend, and they won last 30 seconds of the game.
Wow.
So that would have been two losses in a row.
So you said you hate to say Dallas is so good. Are you one of those people, you either love them or hate them, the Dallas Cowboys? Have you always been one that disliked them?
I can't stand Jerry Jones. I just can't.
You don't like him running down on the field after the victories?
Well, I don't know. Well, really, I don't think he's been doing that lately. He's too old.
The last time I
saw him in person probably about 7 or 8 years ago after one of the games, after one of the Bucks played them. And I couldn't believe in person how old he looked. So,
and that was 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah,
he certainly ain't going to look any younger today.
He's not a wine. He's not getting better with age.
He's not, huh?
No,
more like a raisin. I see.
More like the Crypt Keeper.
The Crypt Keeper. Okay, so before we leave sports, is there anything else going on in the world of sports that we need to talk about, or is that
Some people are watching that thing called soccer. I call it kickball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That is actually a big deal.
For some. I tried to watch that. And, of course, you know what?
What?
It ended in a damn tie.
For whom?
USA.
United States?
USA and whoever they played.
Okay.
The one time, I didn't watch the whole thing. I kept an eye on it here and there. But it figures the one I watch ends in a damn tie.
I find it, like you say, maybe it's because we're so used to all the glitter and I don't know what, but soccer is sort of like a basic sport.
The field's too big.
You have a big green field, and you have one ball, and you just kick the ball back and forth. I mean, there's not a lot of... There's a lot of, in the middle of the field, not great excitement.
A lot of running around.
Yeah, you got to be in shape, that's for sure.
To me, when they had that indoor soccer league in the indoor facilities, that was fun to watch.
And they scored more goals.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Maybe it's too big.
Like when they try to play arena. Is arena football still being played?
No.
No kidding. They finally got rid of it.
Yeah, finally got rid of it. There might be some version of it somewhere
along the way.
Yeah, but it's no league anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, it's time for our top 10, Ed. So if you would be so kind as get over on the drums. And this comes from the History News Network. And these are the top 10 myths about Thanksgiving.
Well, actually, we don't have the drums today.
Oh, okay.
Do we have
something else?
We have Wilbur's distant cousin, Giblet the turkey.
Giblet and Tom Giblet. I remember him. Okay. All right, here we go. Myth number 10. Hey, that's pretty good. I like it. Myth number 10, the Puritans hated fun. Now, we always connect the Puritans to Thanksgiving, you know, with they wore those funny black hats and they had a buckle on the hat. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, H.L. Mencken, the famous author, defined Puritanism as the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. Actually, he says the Puritans welcomed laughter and dressed in bright colors. Or at least the middle and upper classes did. And members of the lower classes were not permitted to indulge themselves, and they dressed in dark clothes. All right, number 9. Number 9, Puritans hated sex. Did you ever hear that one, too?
No.
That they were so pure. Actually, they welcomed sex as a God-given responsibility. So that apparently was, you know, Puritans were so puritanical that even sex was something that was off limits. Not true. Myth number 8. That pilgrims and Puritans were the same thing. They were not. Pilgrims and Puritans were two different groups. Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. They lived in Plymouth. Puritans arrived a decade later, and they settled in Boston.
Mm.
All right? Myth number 7. Myth number 7, the pilgrims dressed in black. Not only did they not dress in black, they did not wear those funny buckles, those weird shoes, or those black steeple hats. That was all a myth. Isn't that funny? So how did we get the idea of the buckles? Well, in the 19th century, and the pilgrims landed in the 17th century, but in the 19th, when the popular image of the pilgrims was formed, there was somebody that started painting these buckles and these steeple hats. So that's the way that went. All right, number 6. Pilgrims lived in log cabins. No pilgrim ever lived in a log cabin. All right, myth number 5. The pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. No. According to historian George Willison, the story about the rock is all malarkey. It was a public relations stunt. They didn't land in Plymouth. They first made landfall in Provincetown. All right. Number 4. The pilgrims ate turkey. Nobody knows if they ate turkey, although they were used to eating turkey. The only food we know that they had for sure was deer. All right? Myth number 3. Thanksgiving was about religion. No, it wasn't. Thanksgiving, if it had been about religion, the pilgrims never would have invited the Indians to join them. Myth number 2. Thanksgiving was about family. No, it was a multicultural community event. Okay. And finally, myth number 1. Come on, boys. One last cluck for humanity. The pilgrims held the first Thanksgiving. No. Mm. To see what the first Thanksgiving was like, you have to go to Texas. Texans claim the first Thanksgiving in America actually took place in San Elizario, a community near El Paso in 1598. Wow. All right. Thanks so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.